The following is an interview with Miss Mildred Garner in her home in Robstown, Texas, on Tuesday, June 26, 1973. Miss Garner will discuss the founding of Robstown and its early settlers, many of the first to come to Robstown, its stores, doctors, newspapers, weather, sicknesses, churches, pharmacies, mayors, and city marshals. She will also describe various aspects of Robstown.
Robstown, Texas became a township in 1907. George H. Powell of Omaha, Nebraska came down and was the first developer of this particular location. He brought many people from his home state and surrounding states who settled here and had homesteads and bought farms, and bought farmland and became farmers in this area. He purchased this location from the Driscoll estate through Robert Driscoll, the son. The location for Robstown was chosen due to the fact that two railroads crossed here, and they had just been completed. The Missouri Pacific Railroad from Brownsville to St. Louis, the Texas-Mexican Railroad from Laredo to Corpus Christi, reputed to be the shortest railway in the nation, I think. Not just Texas, but in the nation. Since the land was purchased from Mr. Driscoll, the town was named his Robstown, because many of his friends called him Rob and many of them called him Bob. The first family that actually lived in Robstown was the W.D. Doty family, who came in 1908. Mr. Doty was the depot agent for the Missouri Pacific and the Texas Mac, combined the two. And he spent his entire life here after that and reared a family of 10 children, 9 boys and 1 girl, which he always referred to lovingly as his baseball team and umpire. Another important family who came to Robstown quite early was the Guy G. Goodrich family, who came in 1908 also. They came, Mr. Goodrich was a contractor, building contractor, at first when he first came here. But later, a few townspeople talked him into being a shoe cobbler, and he opened a shoe shop downtown, down on a muddy main street. And his son, his oldest son, only son, Tom Goodrich, was the second child born in Robstown. The first child born was Paul Kelly. His grandparents were the Mr. and Mrs. Sands, whom had come here earlier, about the same time. Mr. Goodrich operated his shoe shop, and in 1928, Ms. Goodrich and her son Tom, who was still in high school, opened a tailor shop, dry cleaning, and to this day, Tom, the father is deceased, the mother is still living, Tom and his wife still operate the Goodrich Cleaners in Robstown. assisted by his wife. I think I said that, didn't I? Mr. Paul constructed a hotel, a frame hotel, over where the current, the Brindle Hotel, is located, east of the Missouri Pacific Tract. And after a while, that hotel was moved across the track, west of the track, and it was called the Moravia. And it later burned. And then some years later, the Brindle Hotel, which is in the first spot that he had his hotel, is a brick building. The first brick building that was built in Robstown was constructed by Mr. George H. Paul of Omaha, Nebraska. And it was two-story. In the lower floor, it was a grocery store operated by the late J.E. Alred, who came in 1908. This building was constructed. No, Mr. Alred came in 1912, I'm sorry. The building was constructed just before that. I don't know I'm not sure of the exact date, but when it was finished, Mr. Ivory came in 1912, and he operated a grocery store in the lower floor of this building. The upper floor of this building was used as a for school. First school was held there. Mrs. Zora Andrews was the first teacher. And also church was held there. That was where church was held, upstairs on the State National Bank. The first church that was ever built in Robstown, actually a building constructed, was the First Methodist Church. Just so happens that's my church. And that building that was constructed is the same building that when I was about 12 years old, when I went into the Methodist Church by membership myself.
Is it still there?
Uh-huh. No. We have a beautiful brick building, and it was a little frame building. Little frame church, but it was the first one built in Robstown. The first bride who came to Robstown was Mrs. Harvey Dunlap. She and her husband came down here to settle. They bought property. Her husband was there's a dissertation here in this paper about what she had to say. And I said Miss Zora Andrews, didn't I? The first teacher. That was 1908, 1909. They taught school at State National Bank building. It wasn't the State National Bank then. It was the George H. Paul building. Later, the building was purchased by W.H. Daywood of Corpus Christi. And he had a bank across the street, another location. And he bought this building and had it remodeled, and they moved into it as a State National Bank in 1923. Mr. John L. Jacoby was Robstown's first mayor. He came in 1909 with his wife, and he was elected the first mayor in Robstown, as Mr. Doty was the first depot agent in 1908. There were several other pioneers who were mayors in Robstown. One of them happened to have been my grandfather. The R. Robertson family came from Lockhart about 1911. And he was finally known all over Robstown until his death in him when he was 89 years old as Uncle Dick. He was a mayor for a number of years. He was a farmer first out in the rural area. He was a farmer first, but when he moved into town, he was a mayor for a number of years, and he was Justice of the Peace a number of years before he was retired. And Mr. John Kellum was another pioneer. I don't know what year the Kellums came here. I didn't get that history. But they didn't, I don't think they came as soon as some of the other people. For instance, the W.A. Garner family came. My father and mother, and my mother was the daughter of Mr. Dick Robertson. And my father and mother came in September 1912. And the L. Means family had come to Robstown a little earlier than that, around 1908 or 1909, and Mr. Means had a drayage company. And my father worked for Mr. Means, the first job he had when he came to Robstown, working with him for the drayage company. And then, after that, shortly after that, my father leased some land and went out on the farm. And there were many other people that came around 1910, 11, and 12, and 13. Foxes from Lockhart, Texas, Masses from Lockhart, Mayos from Lockhart, Stubbses from Blanco. Then came the Victory Brothers came early. Many of the pioneers from here were from Caldwell County and Blanco County. This Black Land Special, the Black Land Special that took approximately 30 people from Robstown, 105 from other South Texas men, that made up the Black Land Special that went into different areas of Texas to advertise this area, to get more people to come to this area.
Was the train.
That was the Black Land Special, with the train, that happened in 1924. In November 1924 is when they made that trip to advertise Robstown. See, it was already here, but they wanted to get more people to come down here to buy land and settle. And so the people that came after that time, we wouldn't exactly consider pioneers because they didn't get here before 25 or 30 or something like that. But the ones that I consider pioneers, the ones that came between 1907, when the town was organized, and 1915 or 12 or 15. One of the most interesting characters that ever lived in Robstown came in 1912. Mr. and Mrs. J.R. Webb. And he was in the drayage business. And his wagon and team was of tradition in Robstown. Everywhere he hauled freight and express, he hauled water and ice. And he was a character. Everybody loved him. And he reared a large family. And the interesting thing about him is, I was employed as a reporter and bookkeeper and news gatherer, and I call myself everything from the printer's devil to the editor when I worked at the Robstown Record. delivered our newsprint every week to the Robstown Record, and until his death, he was still using that wagon and team. He never changed an automobile. He has one dog still living in town. And he has other children that do not live here, but he died of a heart attack when he was 70, I believe. He was not an old man. But it was just so interesting to know that he never quit his wagon and team. He kept using that wagon and team for his work.
Kept the same old tradition.
And Mr. Doty was a wonderful character in this town. Everybody loved him, and I mean that he stayed here all his life. He lost his wife, and he married again. And was married to a second wife for 10 years before he passed away. And look at his hair. He always, you know, talk about hippies. Well, he always had long hair on his neck, and it curled up under his hat. Let me see. I won't forget anything. This is going to be really done, isn't it?
Well, it'll just be taped over.
Well, is Mr. Hunter going to... Is he going to... The G.A. Balzer family came in October 1912 and opened a small 25-foot frame building on Main, on the 500 block of Main. It wasn't 500 block then, but it was all still mud, Main Street was. We didn't have any pavement. I used to run to town on errands for my mother barefooted when I was a little girl. There was no pavement for a long time after that. The farmers came in from their farms and their wagons and team and came in to get supplies that they couldn't raise out on the farm. But the G.A. Balzers opened this general merchandise store, and over a period of 59 years, that store was remodeled 3 times, was enlarged 3 times, and was sold in 1970. Mr. Balzer was deceased, and his son, his only son, Herman, operated the business until he was ready to retire. And my father and Mr. Balzer were very close friends, the older Mr. Balzer. And we traded at that store when it first opened until it closed. Our family did. And many other families in town, of course.
The main store.
Well, it was a main store for years. The Liebermans came in 1925 and opened their department store here. You see, Balzer's at first was a little general merchandise, and then they expanded and made a beautiful brick building. And they had dry goods and ready-to-wear, and on the other side was groceries. Well, after Mr. Balzer's death, the son sold the grocery part and leased that to an appliance store. So that was, to me, history in Robstown was made by the Balzers and the George H. Pauls and the Dunlaps and the Webbs, which was such a wonderful family. H.B. Nichols. Was employed by the New Inches Hardware in Corpus Christi, and they decided to open a hardware store in Robstown, and they called it the Robstown Hardware. And they moved Mr. Nichols over here February 1913 as manager. He is still the manager of that store for 61 years. And right shortly after he became manager of this store, he was married, and he had to carry his bride across a muddy street because she couldn't walk. That's just how the streets were in 1912 and 1913, with her husband, and settled here. And she lived long after Ms. Biette was gone, and then later when she became unable to live alone. Well, she was taken to the Eastern Star Home. I believe it's in Waco, isn't it? You wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. In Waco, and she lived to be 100 or past. She is now deceased, but now she was one of the pioneers. And a lovely, lovely woman. Great worker in the Eastern Star. The first nurse in Robstown was Mabel Martin, who came in 1909. possibly some of the first things that ever happened in Robstown that I wasn't here to see myself, that I didn't mention before. The E.W. Nauman family was the first farm family to live in Robstown. And according to history, the first wedding held was Fletcher M. Smith and Miss Wilda David. And the second was Chester Grove and Hazel Hardesty. And Mrs. Grove is still living here. And the first meat market was operated by Jim Morgan. And not too much later than that, why, that same meat market was bought and operated by David Brothers, who are also pioneers. And Charlie Brindle built the first cotton gin and also built the Brindle Hotel. William Gerhardt was the first produce shipper here. Way back yonder, before I counted the cars every Wednesday, and there were 23 in town at that time. A Mr. Troutman operated the first picture show here, which was, of course, a silent film. And I remember going to that movie. My daddy would take us girls down there to the movie once in a while. Have you ever seen a silent movie? Mm-hmm. Aren't they comical?
But how much did it cost to go to one of those?
Oh, movies? I don't even remember. Probably 10 cents. And we used to have, I can remember when we used to have medicine shows, you know, to come to town. Constantly, there'd be a medicine show in town. And we got a big bang out of going down to the medicine show, but we couldn't go without our daddy. He'd take us and let us watch them, trying to sell their medicine, you know. Tom Galloway was the first city marshal. The first water district was incorporated in October 1920. The first Robstown Chamber of Commerce was incorporated in December 23. And Master Nixon was the first president. And Master Nixon built the first brick house in Evergreen Addition, which is now Legustrian Boulevard. there's a lot of history connected with the weather in Robstown. We had three rotating crops for years, cotton and produce and grain. And there's not much produce raised around here anymore. This grain and cotton are the main crops now. I remember in the 1926 flood, there was a firm building sewer system all over town. And it rained so much that the water came up almost even with our front porch of our home on Avenue G. And an automobile firm and a service station down the corner of Main and Fourth caught fire because the gasoline had been flushed out of the tanks by the floodwaters, and someone dropped a match, and the thing went up in flames. The whole business did. Just the firemen couldn't even put it out. One of the first things that I remember, one of the earlier things that I remember about Robstown was where the new State National Bank is now located, used to be a mule barn. When I'd run on these errands to town for my mother, even if it was just a spool of thread or some groceries. At that time, we didn't have any. I don't recall when the first telephone company put in. Don't have the record on that, when the first telephones came in. I guess there were telephones here in 1912, but I don't remember. We didn't have one in 1912 anyway. And then there's a history of many, many hurricanes. And concerning the crops, there were droughts and then there were floods, and then there were good days, good years, and there were bad years. And no, just as today, the farmer never knows whether he's going to make a crop or not, or get any money for it or not, or how much he's going to get. But years ago, Saturday in Robstown was something. The merchants had all their merchandise. I'm telling you, the people came to town to shop. The farmers, they'd come to town and shop, and the Latin Americans that were living here that were farm help at that early stage, they didn't own too many homes. They do now. But it was Saturday, and Robstown was something. If you didn't have to go to town, you didn't go because you could hardly get down the sidewalk. It was just loaded with people, Saturdays were. We always called it Cotton Picking Saturday. That was because the cotton pickers came to town to spend their money, and the farmer came to town, he had to come to the bank and pay it. And I have lived through several very serious hurricanes. My parents, and some before they moved here from Matagorda County, they came from Caldwell County to Matagorda County first, and then my daddy farmed rice in Matagorda County, and then came here and was a cotton farmer and grain. But they went through hurricanes in Matagorda County that I don't even know about, except hearing them talk about it. But the first hurricane that I remember in Robstown was 1916. And then there was the main one in 1919 that took about 300 lives in Corpus Christi. Mm-hmm. It was the tidal wave that came up into the to the city and just took everything in its wake back into the water. They had huge poles that you couldn't even dare reach around that were washed in the door of the Nueces Hotel in Corpus Christi. That was back when the Nueces Hotel was the hotel in Corpus Christi. And there were many people that were upstairs in that building did not know whether it was going to stand or not. We out here in this little house, our house did it, but our neighbors next door, their house blew off the blocks, and they came over here and spent the rest of the storm with us. And the severity of the storm was just awful. My daddy had to take bed slats off the bed and nail across the doors and windows to keep them from blowing open. I remember that 1919 storm. Mr. Ollie, who was operating this grocery store down at the lower floor of the Paul Building, which later was the State National Bank Building, tells about how he managed to get barrels of lard and barrels of flour and things that were so badly needed for people way back before the storm area, but also during the storm. However, during that storm, he's already moved and he's in another location. But the Victory Brothers came here in 1909, and I can't remember what their first business was. And I'm not sure about what their business was, but they were here for years, the Victory Brothers were. Mr. Ollie said one time he had 5 cars of flour bought and paid for at $4.90 per barrel. The market price advanced to $10.50. The government told me to place the price at $4.90 plus 20 cents per profit per barrel. Imagine selling a whole barrel of a flower and just getting 20 cents profit on it. That's what he says. Mr. Ivory lived to be in his 90s, and he just passed away about a year ago. He was active in business. He owned a feed and seed store when he passed away. He'd operated feed and seed business for years after he quit the grocery business. Remember the flu epidemic that hit Robstown. You're too young to know about that. You still have to. the flu epidemic hit here, I think it was in 1918, and so many people all over the United States died with it. It was terrific flu, and when one got the pneumonia, everybody got the pneumonia. And my daddy was the only one in our household that didn't ever go to bed with him. He had a colored woman that came here and helped him take care of Mom and the rest of us. There were just many people that died with it. It was a terrible flu. We didn't have antibiotics or anything to kill it. Had to just tough it out. I remember all those hairpins I went through, I'll tell you that. They're not the worst one, of course, that hit Robstown was Celia. That was the most devastating. That was a freak. Mm-hmm. She'd be named a hurricane. I think it was a freak. That only lasted 4 hours, and hurricanes, normal hurricanes last 2 or 3 days. They just blow and rain and blow and rain. And this one just came and slammed and left.
Well, a cross between a tornado and a hurricane.
Yeah. It had a lot of tornado factors with it. One of the very scary things that I remember about when I was a youngster here was when we got word in this area that Villa from Mexico was going, was coming with his raiding parties from the valley onto the King Ranch and headed our way. Well, of course, all the people were just frightened to death. And the men of the there were many wonderful pioneer people who came, the Wilsons, the Smiths, the I want to tell you about this. Our first doctor was Dr. W. A. Pine, and he had his office in a little shed over on the other side of McCarrick Produce Shed. Used to be, and there's another produce shed there now. Then after doctor, my remembering other doctors and other interesting things. Another doctor group was Dr. Williams and Clark that came later. Dr. Clark moved away after being here some 20 years, and Dr. Williams remained and lived to be in his 90s. And he did not retire from medicine for just 2 or 3 years before he passed away. He was a character, Dr. Williams was. But there's an interesting thing about another doctor here that I would like to mention in this interview. When my parents first came to Robstown, we lived in a little rent house that was 3 doors from the Nat Stone family. The Nat Stone family had moved here in 1908. And I remember I wasn't even old enough to go to school. Well, I used to visit, go with my mother to visit down to Mrs. Stone. Well, they had a young son named Bill. And he graduated from high school here. And as soon as he finished high school, he went into the U.S. Air Force. And he was a fighter. And he served 26 months in the Air Force. And when he finished his service years, he went into medical school. He finished high school in 16 and was in the Air Corps 26 months. Then he went to Baylor and took his BS. Then he went to Knoxville and took his MD from Vanderbilt. at Nashville, Tennessee. He returned to Robstown in 1932 and is still a practicing physician and surgeon at the Robstown Hospital. That, we have one other doctor that was here a little bit longer than a couple of years before he came back here, but he's the pioneer doctor. He's the one that was reared here. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wanted to bring that out. Dr. Vito Stone is still serving his public here, where he started out, where he came as a small child with his parents from Lockhart. They came from Lockhart also. Mr. and Ms. Matt Stone. And he's a wonderful person. As to the Robstown Record, the newspaper, the first newspaper of record was called The Reporter. And a Mrs. Mitchell was the editor. And it was way back in 1910 or 12. And tradition has it that she went broke. And later, Mr. and Mrs. M.L. Dale opened a newspaper here in 1919 and changed the name to the Robstown Record. And then Mr. and Mrs. Dale wanted to move from Robstown, and they sold the paper to Mr. and Mrs. Sam Fuller of Floresville in 1926. Mr. Fuller and his family, he owned the Floresville paper. He never moved to Robstown. He maintained a good working crew, good editor. He didn't come down here, he just owned it. And it was moved from its old location the present location after Mr. Forbody. And I worked for Mr. Fowler for the Robstown Record in Robstown from 1929 to 1940. And one of the interesting things about Robstown that should not be left out is the fact that due to the geographical location, It is in the sort of the center of the county. Corpus Christi is the south county seat, but Robstown is more centrally located. And the farmers didn't have time to run to Corpus every time they needed to go to a courthouse. So during Roosevelt's administration, when there was the NYA labor built a stucco building in Robstown that's been known ever since as the county building. And all of the agricultural activities are housed in this county building in Robstown. Since back in the, it was built, I think, about 1940. And it has the county agricultural agent and the county home demonstration agent. The tax collector office has a sub-office over here. The ASC office, which is concerning agriculture, and the county library is housed here. And incidentally, we're going to get a new building. But that is just one of the interesting highlights of Robstown that came about that time of it, way back then. And while I was at the Robstown Record, talking about agriculture, I'd like to bring out that Wednesday afternoon was always my afternoon to make the gins and the produce sheds and see how many bales of cotton had been ginned, how many cars of produce had been shipped that week. In the 30s, there were 23 vegetable produce shipping sheds in Robstown. There were 17 cotton gins. That may be hard to believe, but that's true. I covered them, I know.
Quite a few.
Yeah, that's right, quite a few. Uh, I want to mention about the Mrazek family, who came here quite early in the Robstown history and had a lot to do with the farming area. Tom Mrazek came to Robstown in 1908 and found, after moving here, that the equipment that the people were trying to use to clear the land of mesquite, which was the native brush around here, he and his sons invented a plow which was known as Mrazek plow. He had conquered the number one problem of the Robstown farmer of 50 years ago.
Problem achieved.
Mm-hmm. How to break the mesquite-infested coastal plain soil. He and his sons turned out more than 300 of these ponderous plows during the years when South Texas was being turned from a rangeland to a fertile farming country. The Mrazek came from Moravia and his parents in 1958. And he learned blacksmithing and landing at Galveston in 1880. That was his parents. And then they came on down here when Tom was talking about his parents at that time. There were several Mrazek brothers, and the Mrazek plow was one of the most important things in Robstown farming history, or clearing land, and then also in farming. And there was a Mrazek machine shop in Robstown until just a couple of years ago. There, one of the grandsons was still operating a machine shop. He was a machinist, not necessarily the Mrazek plow, but just he was a machinist, and he had a repair shop for farmer's equipment. He's not here now. I believe that they've gone. But anyway, they were. Now, Mrs. Ella Biette, as I said earlier, was one of the first women to come to Robstown, working with Mr. Paul. She worked in his office in Omaha, Nebraska. As she recalled, she saw this section of the mesquite-covered coastal bend transformed into one of the most productive and commercially healthy communities in South Texas. She made her first trip in the George H. Paul Land Special, which brought prospective land buyers here. She served as a matron on these specials, and close friends say that in the period of development of the black lands of this area, she made approximately 25 such trips to Nueces County while she was working in his office. And then on one of these trips, she became interested in the possibility of New Essex County farmland, and she purchased an 80-acre tract just south of town, which she owned until the time of her death in 42. And she was getting pretty old by that time. I knew her and Mrs. Lou Ellis Smith very, very well. Mrs. Lou Ellis Smith was one of the loveliest people. Mrs. Lou Ellis Smith came here in 1910. Got themselves fortified with ammunition, and they took the wives and the children all inside of homes and barred the homes. And then they went out and would hide in the area by the homes and bushes and whatnot to protect the houses in case they did come. Well, as one person put it, they stole some horses and things like that, but they never did damage it. They didn't hurt anybody. We never saw them. They were never seen. They didn't do the what we were looking for them to do. It was just a frightening experience. So. I don't remember that happening but one time when I was a child. But I know that we were out on a farm, and we were a whole bunch of us in my grandfather's house. I don't know how many neighbors were there and with their families, but there were a bunch there in that house. And the men were outside watching. with their guns. But nothing ever happened. In later years, one of the interesting things that Robstown did was the first real celebration they ever had here was called the King Cotton Carnival. I believe that it was about 1938, and it was a very, very interesting affair that was put on by out-of-town producers, you know, just like producing a movie. And it was, there were many, many, many people in it. I recall that one of our leading farmers in the area, who did not move to Robstown until 1924, his daughter was in her first year in the University of Texas, Edna Bell Perry, was brought home from the university because she was the queen for the first Robstown King Cotton Carnival. And there were, the affair was depicting war between the states and all kinds of history in it. It was just a real fantastic production. My brother was 6 feet 6 inches tall, and they gave him the role as Uncle Sam. And he looked like an Uncle Sam, all right. We did not have that celebration every year. We had it 2-3 times. We didn't continue because it ran into quite a lot of money. It was rather expensive. I was manager. After working for the Robstown Record 11 years, I was with the Chamber of Commerce for a while as a manager of the office for 5 years, and I did some interesting things while I was in the Chamber of Commerce office. I took Miss Catherine Grandstaff to Houston, where she won the Rodeo Queens contest in the 1950 rodeo there. And today she's Mrs. Bing Crosby in California. And it's quite a history. The two dear people who are now gone were dear friends of mine. Dr. Jeff King Offway of King Ranch was a dear friend. And Richard M. Clayburgh, our representative for many years, was a close friend. His first stop in Robstown was always a Robstown Record when I was working there, because he was a close friend of Mr. Fore and Mr. Keach and everybody connected with the paper. And then I've met more interesting people and things in the later years, which is not considered a pioneer of history at all. I've had a real estate license for 30 years, over 30 years, and I operated a credit bureau for 25 years in Robstown. And
meet quite a few people.
I know people from north to south, east to west. I've been to hundreds of conventions all my life, in all those locations, all four of them. I've been to conventions with the Chamber of Commerce, the newspaper, the real estate, and the credit bureau, and just meet more interesting people everywhere I go. People have always been my hobby. I just love people. I never meet a stranger. I've always been rather outgoing, and I was very happy to be able to help the history department with this, if I have helped any. There's many, many more things that I can say. I don't know where to stop. We can't go on all day, but there were, talking about Robstown churches, the Methodist was the first to build, and then Czech Moravian built, and then the Lutheran. And then later the Baptist. And of course we have, I don't know about that, Stockton County, how many churches we have today in town. Latin American, colored, Anglo, American. I don't even, the present population is close to 30,000.
And when... Is it here? Back in 1910, I believe it was 250. I believe that's what it was. And I thought I had it here, but I don't seem to have it right in front of me. 1910, 250. Here it is. The planning engineers at that particular time estimated that the normal growth will zoom the city's population to 31,500 by 1980. And it's already almost there now. We have a very fine school system. We have lots of wonderful churches in town, lots of wonderful people, and all the farmers that used to live out on farms now live in fine homes in town. And one of the first drug stores, I'm not sure who operated the first drug store, but the one that I recall was Blaze Pharmacy, and then Crockett's Pharmacy, and then Boucher Pharmacy, and the City Drug, and later the Central Drug. And the Central is still the Central Drug, and the City Drug is too. It's the Central and City are the two main ones. There's a nice, very nice drugstore down in Latin American section that's called the Modern Drug, owned by Mr. Adami. And Robstown has grown by leaps and bounds. I have many friends tell me daily, nothing ever changes around here. I said, why don't you look around and see what's changed about new buildings and new things that are going up all the time. One of the nicest additions to our town, some 15 years ago, I may be over it long. Now, I don't know exactly when the Robstown Savings and Loan was organized here. We have a savings and loan. And one of the nicest additions to our town recently is the beautiful Perry Building on Main Street. It houses all the Perry industries. They have several different offices there, organizations that the Perry's own. And it's a beautiful building. And our Robstown Hospital is something to be proud of. It's 5 miles north of town. And Dr. Gibson has his clinic right here in town. And Dr. Stephen has his office in town. But then Dr. Stone is still our pioneer doctor that's still in practice. Our present mayor that I had not mentioned has been in office about 12 years. And he is the manager of the Robstown Savings and Loan also. And incidentally, he's the only Anglo in the city office. All the councilmen are Latin American, and he's the only Anglo. And we have a fine police department. It started out, it used to be called City Marshal. Now we have a mayor and councilman. But one of the most vivid imaginations that I have of the early days in Robstown was when J.W. Galbraith was the city marshal here. He was a character. And one of his daughters was a good friend of mine. But he was city marshal for a number of years, and later he moved to Corpus Christi. He was the mayor, sheriff of Nueces County out of the courthouse. At the time of his death, he wasn't in the office very long. He died with a heart trouble. But J.W. Galbraith was a very, very fine friend. And there were many, many good men that served as city marshal. Mr. G.C. Allison, whom is no longer with us. And then they changed over to the mayor form of government. And we've had many fine mayor. Herman Balzer was mayor for a long time, who was the owner of Balzer's store before he sold it in 70. And many of our fine local citizens served the town as mayor. I hope that I haven't left out anyone important to mention about this area, because I wouldn't want to leave out any of the pioneers at all. even if just listing their names would help. I think I mentioned some of the main doctors and some of the main families that I remember when I was a youngster growing up here. About the one family I didn't mention was the Kinney family. They had a little store, a little merchandise store. They had their store in town before Bulger came and opened his store. And I do not know how long the Kinneys operated the store here. I was too young to remember about how long they were in Robstown. But I do remember the name, and they had a store, and I have a picture of it. And I knew the Morazic sons, the family of the Tom, and the Talberts were old timers here, and the Tom Wilsons came later, the Liney Cardwells later, and the Studers were here for many years, and they sold part of their property out here in Robstown, which is now known as Studer Edition, and that's where our very expensive and finer homes are. It's the Studer land, and it's called Studer Edition. The Ligons were here came quite early. I don't know what year the Ligons came, but later, after Mr. Ollie moved his store from the bank building, Mr. Ligon was in partners with him in another location, in a grocery store. The Ligons were neighbors of ours, just a half a block away. I hardly know how to close this off. As I said, I hope I didn't leave out anyone important. I didn't mean to. It's just one of those things. You just can't live in a town as many years as I have and know nearly everybody that ever lived here personally. I do not know the newcomers very well. I know of them, but I don't know their history like I do the old timers and the settlers and the pioneers. And I just, I'd have to have had a week or a month to sit down and jot down all the names of the people that I knew when I was a little girl, and when I was growing up, and when I finished high school, and when I went to work. And I would say that I just hope that what I have given would be a bit of Robstown history for your files at A&I University. Back in the early years of Robstown, it was known as a thriving little city. And when all this black land was cultivated and growing cotton and grain and produce, it was just known as God's most livable land and most lovable people. And the name was coined for the town as the biggest little town in Texas. And it kept that name, as far as I know. It's known as the Land of Plenty, a thriving little city, the Land of Plenty. We're proud of our schools and our productivity, and the New Aces County Show Barn is in Robstown, where all the youth have their rodeos and their junior livestock shows and everything. It's in Robstown for the whole county. And our high school is $1.5 million high school. And we have a junior high and about 10 elementaries. There's an awful large percentage of that school attendance that are Latin Americans, but we're just hoping to get them all educated so that they'll be glad that they are part of Robstown, and we'll be glad they're part of Robstown. Oh, and oil fields encroach on Robb's Town. We have we've had lots of oil production around here. There's hardly any farmer that hasn't had or doesn't have now a producing oil well on his land. Irrigation has always been a problem. As I said, Robb's Town was built in a swale because of where the railroads crossed. And even where the farming area is, they always had a drainage problem. And I know something about that drainage problem because my father was civil engineer for the drainage district for 25 years. And they build these drainage ditches and drain them. Of course, every farm has that, I imagine, has drainage. And it is one of the main things that helped these farmers to keep producing and keep alive because of the way the town, the country, and the county and the area is drained. And every year we try to come up with something new, every 2 or 3 years, something new to help drain the water off the town. Because when it rains, it stands in the streets until it stops raining, and then it kind of drains off. But because we're in a low place, it's